All right, toss one. Marjorie Kemp tells an archbishop the story of a bear who eats the flowers of one of these plants, then expels them in the direction of a priest. One of these plants carries on the legacy of Herr von Ribbeck in a poem by Theodore Fontana. A character whose last name is a Portuguese word for this plant is a journalist living under Salazar's regime in a novel by Antonio Tabucci.
Oh, shit.
Whose title says that character maintains. A character listens to the alto chant of bees around one of these plants and remarks on its ecstatic shiver, thinking, so this was a marriage. In The Confession, St. Augustine recalls how as a teenager...
A pear tree?
Yes.
I've read that fucking
thing. Yeah, no, that thing. I read the Book of Marjorie Kemp, but I don't remember the fucking pear shitting.
Toss up. Jeffrey Myers traces a quote about one of these inanimate objects to some actions done by the Houyhnhnms in Book 4 of Gulliver's Travels. That same quote about one of these inanimate objects titles a song that begins, "Drop Dead, It Doesn't Matter," she said, from Bad Religion's album The Empire Strikes First. A quote about one of these inanimate objects was displayed across the floor at Berlin's Spruchmagers in 2017 as part of Barbara Kruger's piece Forever. That same quote about one of these inanimate objects originally appears at the end of a paragraph where the speaker declares, "We shall abolish the orgasm, and all competing pleasures will be destroyed." That speech ending with a quote about one of these objects declared, "There'll be no loyalty except loyalty toward the party," and is delivered by O'Brien. Put in points, name this object that in George Orwell's 1984 is described stamping on...
No. Boot?
Yes.
I see.
Boot stamping on the human face for...
Are you not playing or
something? Oh, no, he said we had to play before.
Oh! Fine. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good biking. Keep it up. Yeah, definitely.
Well, you can play with five people, but one of them has to be cheating.
Yeah.
But he has to communicate in sign language, which you don't speak.
Toss three. This woman was the first artist in residence at the National Gallery in London, which included her characteristic seascapes in the exhibition Walls of Water. A piece of public art by this artist has the words, "I hear those voices that will not be drowned," from Peter Grimes cut into its edge, and had been criticized by locals for disrupting an otherwise untouched beach in Adelberg. This artist of scallop created another sculpture with a stylized version of the dedicatee's head and cigarette-holding hand emerging from a coffin. That statue by this artist is titled A Conversation with Its Subject. A statue by this artist depicting an every woman is engraved with the lines, "I do not wish women to have power over men, but over themselves," and was criticized for its nudity. But by this British sculptor of controversial memorials to Oscar Wilde and Mary Wollstonecraft.
That's an answer.
I'm just going to say Epstein. That's not right.
No.
Hapworth.
No, it's Maggie Hambling.
Sure. Would you pull that?
No, I was going to say Hapworth.
Yeah, that's the, sure. Throwaway guess. Well, I hope it's not Hapworth. Hapworth. I've studied a very large amount of her at some point. Oh. I would feel very bad. At some point.
I have a feeling there's going to be a toss-up on Thomas Horsham somewhere in this. That's what I'm coming
towards.
You're
doing it at the right time. During a toss-up, no, between toss-ups.
All right, toss-up four. A narrative about strange going-ons describes how a character with this name butters a piece of toast slowly, deliberately in the bathroom with a knife at midnight. Another character with this name delightedly watches his six-year-old cousin accidentally drown in the bath, since he was planning to drown him anyway so he could gain a large inheritance, and it worked by James Rachels. A character with this name has his brain and nervous system manipulated by a villain named Black so that he does what Black wants him to do. Another character with this name postulates that other characters have things like thoughts and intentions in a myth written by Wilfred Sellers. But points give.
Oh, I see.
Jones?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
That's what makes
sense.
Thought experiments.
Yeah. This poem is often cited as an early example of a viral phenomenon because it was photocopied and circulated by hand after the magazine it was slated to appear in shut down. The words "that nasty" are struck through in this poem's line about someone who has eaten that nasty hospital food.
Oh,
a video
shit.
Of Miki Blanco reading this poem was released in the same year that this poem was installed on a pillar on Manhattan's High Line. Both of those things happened during the 2016 resurgence in this poem's popularity. This poem, which was inspired by Eileen Miles for...
like, Niemöller's First They Came for the Socialists.
For Office in 1992, expresses like hope that, a person with AIDS or someone with no health insurance will fill the title position. For 10 points, name this Zoe Leonard poem that describes the type of person she would want to lead the United States.
It's like... it's called, like, the president.
I want a president.
I want a president.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Sorry.
I like that. That's a good question.
I have, like, seen this on the highlight.
Been on the highlight. Yeah, I didn't notice I was there.
Also, in a 2018 novel with this title, the narrator is the only character whose dialogue isn't placed in quotation marks until the last two chapters, when the narrator's wife is the only character whose dialogue isn't placed in quotation marks. What? In that novel with this title, Green Headlights herald the arrival of Terrence, who tells Junior that he's been selected for a space program called the Installation. Ian Reid's second novel shares this title with a novel in which a supposed cannibal has no tongue, reportedly because it was cut out by a slave trader.
Foe?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Toss up. In a novel written under this first name, Mo Sen participates in the public stoning of a woman condemned as a prostitute. In order to avoid censorship, a male author wrote novels like Morituri under this female first name, shocking the French literary establishment when it was revealed that he was actually an Algerian army officer named Mohamed Mousselhol. This pseudonymous first name is used by the author of What the Day Owes the Night and The Swallows of the Swallows of Kabul, who uses the last name Khadra. An author with this first name wrote a play in which Annette vomits all over a coffee table during the
Yasmina?
Yes. Toss up. Stephen Ziliak added this suffix to the word Guinness to describe a theoretical approach inspired by the work of William S. Gossett. Stanley Reiter coined a word ending in the suffix, referring to an approach that was partly popularized by a 1964 book that imagines what America would have been like if the railroads had never been built. Policy evaluation, based on a tradition whose name ends in the suffix, is the target of the 1976 paper that introduced the Lucas critique. Stanley Engerman and Robert Fogel's book Time on the Cross exemplifies an approach whose name adds this suffix.
What?
Metrics?
Yes.
That's so stupid.
Toss up 9. Boats Gilvely and Guns Donovan celebrate their shared December 7th birthday with one of these events every year in the film Donovan's Reef. Dan Tobin, played by the director's brother Francis, gets up from his deathbed to watch one of these events that begins in the countryside and ends miles away in Cohen's Bar. Somebody's fiddle is carefully protected during one of these events that delays the start of Laurie's wedding in The Searchers. A ridiculously long one of these events involving Bill Danaher and Sean Thornton, played by Victor McLagan and John Wayne, is the climax of The Quiet Man. That scene inspired a similarly long one of these events in John Carpenter's They Live.
Fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. That is indeed something that happens in a lot of Western movies.
Do they want
movies.
Like a standoff? That's what I was thinking.
Sunset or something.
I think it's a 10.
Yeah.
According to the composer's wife,
makes sense.
Material from this composition was incorporated into an organ piece that the composer wrote for the funeral of a painter as part of his Opus 111. A biography by Eric Tavascherna traces the date of the composition of this work's first movement using a bill sent to the copyist Paul Voigt. The American critic Olin Downs pressured the composer to finish this work, as did Serge Koussevitzky, who sent the composer increasingly desperate letters because he hopes to conduct this symphony's premiere. Most scholars assume that the manuscript of the symphony was one of the papers that was burned at the Villa of I Nola in 1945.
So maybe it was never finished then? Spielis's eighth?
Yes.
Good work.
We'll figure it out.
Das 11. The Black and White Together are performing this action according to John Greenleaf Whittier's poem Howard at Atlanta. That poem was inspired by a 12-year-old Richard R. Wright saying to Oliver Otis Howard, "Tell him we're performing this action." A poem titled for this action mentions the huts of history's shame and a past that's rooted in pain, but describes performing this action into a daybreak that's wondrously clear and declares, "I am the dream and the hope of the slave." That poem title for this action asks questions like, "Does my haughtiness offend you?" The speaker of that poem vows to perform this action even if you write me...
Rising?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
Good.
All done.
Toss up 12. This director's first color film includes a shot in which the sun shines extremely brightly behind the futuristic dream house imagined by a beggar and his son. This director's only 70mm film includes a shot in which the moon and the setting sun are visible in opposite corners of the frame, while the title Hunter explains that the sun is the most important person. A boy ignores his mother's command to stay home when the sun is shining through the rain in the first segment of a 1990 film by this director with segments titled The Peach Orchard and Crows. This director is said to be the first to have aimed the camera directly at the sun for a 1950 film, which ends with the sun coming out as an abandoned baby is taken home by the woodcutter.
Kurosawa.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Nice.
Okay.
Good work.
So 80, okay, 15 at the half.
Yeah.
80, 15.
80, 15.
Okay, okay. That sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Plus 13. The foot fetish of an author with this surname led to the production of ice cream sold in the shape of the foot of the title character of his most popular novel. That same novel by an author with this surname boosted the circulation of Harper's by 100,000 after it was first serialized in 1894 and lent its name to a Florida town, a brand of soap, and a type of sausage. On a trip to France to research her ancestors, an author with the surname ran into a doppelganger of someone she knew, leading to a novel about a lecturer named John whose identity is stolen by a man he meets at a Le Mans rail station titled The Scapegoat. A man with this surname wrote a novel about a hypnotized singer.
It has to be.
It's De Maurier.
Yes.
It just sounded like it.
Is that De Maurier, Florida?
There are two people, they have a French, they have French heritage. They
one of them
crazes.
Was in defeat.
God damn
is it De Maurier soap brand?
I don't know.
What's a De Maurier sausage? Do I want to find out?
Toss at 14. While teaching in this school in 1972, Judy Chicago organized the exhibit The Last Plastic Show. Annie Leibovitz took a group photo of alumni of this university, including Nancy Beeman and John Musker, for a 2014 Vanity Fair article. Hundreds of students at this school contributed to Nirvan Mullick's The One-Second Film, largely a ploy to get people spurious IMDb credits. A style name for this university, characterized by thin lines and bean-shaped mouths, characterized books.
CalArts?
10.
Yeah.
CalArts.
It's this Pixar thing.
Yeah. Toss 15. This thinker added extensive marginal notes to the works of Adolphe Quetelet, theorizing that Quetelet's discoveries could be used to reveal God's moral laws, an idea tied to the radical spiritual views laid out in this person's book, Suggestions for Thought. Mm-hmm. William Fair insisted statistics should be the driest of all reading while complaining about this person's use of colorful graphics. This statistician created the misleading bat's wing diagram, later replacing it with a wedge-based diagram that is now known as the coxcomb. This statistician developed a pie chart-like graphic called the polar area diagram, which he used to represent the causes of mortality in the Army of the East. But I'm this pioneer of sanitary
W.E.B. Du Bois?
No. who trained British nurses during the Crimean War.
Yes.
Yes. Notice status.
I know what you're
doing.
I see what you're doing, but Army of the East.
Toss up 16. The poverty of students at Maharaja's College in Mysore in the 1930s may have led to the 1x2 form of this larger ritual. Since the 16th century, a long-handled device called an ibrik or a jazve has been used in one form of this ritual. In one of these rituals, a person performs a certain action three times and then says da imen, meaning
please.
Oh,
fuck. Drinking coffee?
Power.
The jazve is like the
yeah, you missed the clear.
Brass like thing that you put in like the hot sand to make Turkish coffee.
I own one of those.
That's pretty sick.
Turkish coffee.
Toss up 17.
Stupid of us.
The narrator of the novella believes that an almost square issue with this magazine sacrificed itself like a magical and heroic soldier to save other periodicals from the rain. A negligent postman fails to deliver a rare issue of this magazine in a novella by Argentine author Cesare Ayra. A 2019 issue of this magazine included an essay by Hannah Black on the toxic philanthropy of tear gas magnate Warren Canders. One of the schisms detailed in Amy Newman's history of this magazine is...
Art form.
Power.
Well done.
Nice. Good buzz, dude.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Fucking great.
That wasn't the list of Ira books I was browsing a while
ago. Toss up 18. While excavating these items, the protagonist of a novel is alarmed by a huge bird or bat that turns out to be a stonemason's coat. That protagonist imagines telling his servant, Christophe, to go into the cellar and pull the label off a box of these things when he learns of the ransacking of Austin Friars. In a 2020 novel, a diplomat whose Christmas hat was mocked by the protagonist's family asks about rumors in Rome that these things were shot out of a cannon. John Butler's book, The Quest for These Things, was inspired by the 1990 arrest of two veterans of the French Foreign Legion who claimed to be searching for these things. One theory says that these things were hidden before their supposed confiscation in 1538 and thus escaped destruction, and attempts to identify them typically search for head wounds inflicted by the Clerc Hugh de Horcy on and four knights. For 10 points...
What? Like, the body of Thomas of Becket?
No.
That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's all. Of his body, aren't they?
Where's bones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
was
the
tower? Yeah, no,
that
was the
same thing. He said 1538. Yeah. I'm like, what? Too many people.
No, that was the suppression of that by Henry VIII.
Oh, I see.
Got rid of the bone. Toss of 19.
I see.
Descriptions acceptable. This person recites a story to distract the speaker of the poem The Gift while pulling a mental splinter from the speaker's palm. Birds pull the blanket up to this person's chin every night in a poem whose three stanzas begin, I buried this person in the sky, I buried this person underground, and I buried this person in my heart. This man's imprisonment and subsequent escape to Pennsylvania are detailed in the memoir The Winged Seed. This former personal physician to Chairman Mao comes to terms with his approaching blindness and is given some soft and brown spotted fruits by the speaker in the poem Persimmons. For now, his relative is...
Young Lee's
father.
Yes.
Hold on.
Okay.
Well, so many ideas.
20. Photos based on these images were overlaid on oil on linen paintings, also based on these images, in McCollum and Terry's project, The Evidence of Things Not Seen. A painting based on this type of image was vandalized with ink and eggs during an exhibition that led to the resignation of four members of the Royal Academy of Art. Handprints of an infant were used to reproduce one of these images for a painting displayed at the Sensation exhibit in 1997. That Marcus Harvey painting is called Myra and is based on one of these images depicting Myra Hindley. In the 1880s, the modern form of these images was invented by the anthropometry practitioner Alphonse Bertillon, who standardized their two-part structure featuring both front and sides.
Mug shots?
Yes.
Anthropometry, you said. Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Concept 21. Yeah. After moving back to his hometown in this state, the narrator becomes obsessed with John Berryman in the title of reality show and Andrew Palmer's novel The Bachelor. A character living in the state is warned by his atheist older brother Edward not to let his mama see him reading Feuerbach in a novel where one character imagines heaven to be just like the splendors of the world, multiplied by two. An author who set the Last 100 Years trilogy in the state wrote a novel set here where Jeannie Cook Smith is a stand-in for Goneril, an elderly living...
Iowa.
Yeah.
Okay, so I read The Bachelor like 2 weeks ago. Oh, sorry. Oh. It just came out a month ago. Yeah. So.
Gossip 22. Sorry. Ladies' Home Journal was one of only two American publications to print this author's scathing series of 6 articles about Vietnam. This author declared it may be that the human race is on the way out, a failed species, and a letter to be published in the event of her death included in the collection Yours for Probably Always. At age 81, this author covered the U.S. invasion of Panama. This woman coined the term apocalypse. Fires to refer to people who tell self-aggrandizing stories, such as her first husband. This author lied and said she was working on a story about nurses and then barricaded herself in a bathroom to successfully get herself aboard a ship.
Nellie Bly?
No.
During the D-Day landing, a 2012 HBO film directed by Philip Kaufman and starring Nicole Kidman shows this woman during the Spanish Civil War alongside a man who later wrote the memoir A Movable Feast, friend by same as war correspondent and third wife Ernest Hemingway.
Martha Gellhorn.
Like maybe
I couldn't remember her.
1990 invasion of Panama.
Yeah, that's those reason. No, those are reasonable most, except for that.
Toss 23. This author warned, don't try to understand it, let it try to understand you, in the program for a play whose stage rotates 90 degrees after each scene. The three Miss Weirds, who are named Stop, Look, and Listen, sit on rocking chairs in a play by this author whose protagonist is in love with a woman named Me. This author's reunion with his daughter Nancy inspired a play whose title character trades masks with death and becomes a promoter of science, but is blamed for a wheel mine accident by an angry mob. This author of Him and Santa Claus, a more...
E. Cummings.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. His novels. Amazing.
Wow.
Didn't know he wrote any.
Yeah. Last also. This physical trait is possessed by the woman on the right playing the lute, but not the woman on the left playing the dulcimer in the painting The Bower Meadow. This trait is emphasized by the position of the bride's right index finger and contrasts strongly with the four women and black child surrounding the bride in the painting The Beloved. The cover of a book about this trait by Jack Colas Harvey is taken from a painting in which a woman with this trait plays a harp and is flanked by a pair of angels with this trait entitled La Girlandata. Two spiral-shaped objects made of pearl draw attention to this trait in the painting Monavana. This trait is prominently displayed in many paintings depicting Fanny Cornforth, Alexis Fielding,
Red hair?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh,
good.
Oh.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
You did couldn't say someone out. From Ireland in French, so I should have figured
out. La Belle Irlandaise, yeah.
Oh.
I'm completely
misquoted.
Yeah. 165, 40.
Oh, that's correct.
Good game.